Well, we've been seeing some of the Trump effect even before he was sworn in as president, and part of it being that maybe there was going to be Hamas willing to make a peace agreement with Israel. That's still some details still be working out and other things happening. But how much of this is really going to carry forward? And joining us is Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He's the executive vice president of Coalition for Jewish Values. Rabbi, glad to have you with us again.
Glad to be back with you.
Well, let me begin by your first initial take on the fact that Trump is now the 47th president.
Well, happy days are here again.
I agree.
You know, there's a blessing in the synagogue on the morning of every upcoming new moon, when the new month is about to begin. They say the new month is coming upon us with blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said, and is also in the middle of prayers, a blessing for the president or the ruler of the country, because a stable government is always helpful to us. So, well, almost always, I should say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so this, the person started saying President Trump's name on Saturday. And somebody objected. He says, no, 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 until Monday, you've got to say President Biden. And I said, well, you can resolve that by saying President Trump, who should come upon us with blessing.
Well, you're the rabbi. I guess you could make a rule like that. But one point of the things that you had pointed out to me, and again, you're listening to Rabbi Menken, Executive Vice President, Coalition for Jewish Values, that you point out that maybe his most loyal voting bloc is not out in force, not many Orthodox Jews at the inauguration, but that group is more anxious than many to see him back in place.
That's true. I mean, in the rotunda today on the video, I saw, you know, one yarmulke, one distinguished rabbi in the entire crowd. When you look at the voting blocks of, you know, in the United States and the demographics, even evangelical Christians, who I think come out for the president, you know, at over 75% voted for Trump. When you're talking about the Orthodox, the traditionally Orthodox, it's over 95%. It's a total commitment to what President Trump's agenda is. And people think, oh, that's, you know, because of Israel and anti-Semitism. And all of that is true, by the way. But if you look at the rest of the Trump agenda and what the Republican Party claims to stand for, a place where the rule of law is recognized, where unfettered immigration is regarded as a bad thing, where traditional values are upheld, where there are two genders, not a multiplicity thereof. All of those are values positions that resonate with the Orthodox Jewish community. So you add all of those things together, and that is why the support for Trump is so astronomical.
When you say 95% in the most recent election, I mean, that is an amazing, an astounding number.
It really is. I mean, if you look at 2016, it was over 80%. It was already highly unusual. Lakewood, New Jersey, which hosts the largest rabbinic seminary in America, the vote there was the largest pro-Trump majority of any substantial voting district in the entire state of New Jersey. But now, like we said, if you look at the voting blocks in New York and the right zip codes in Brooklyn and back to Lakewood, you're looking at 95%. It's
all
just
right.
Completely off the rails.
Since you brought New York in, how does Chuck Schumer remain in office and continue to win re-election when he's been wishy-washy when it comes to the values of Jews in general and the state of Israel?
He is certainly rapidly losing the Orthodox Jewish vote. You know, sadly, look at New York in general. It is a very deep blue state. It is the state where they are needlessly prosecuting Trump for things that, you know, where they had their target first, and then they painted, it's the ultimate on the weaponization of government and weaponization of the justice system. That's all coming out of New York. And sadly, New York voters love it. So I think their high regard for Chuck Schumer has to be seen through that same lens. If you're going to be that partisan and that ridiculous, and Chuck Schumer is your guy, it's not really a great reflection on who he is.
Well, what do you think about Adam Schiff, who's now a senator from California, rehiring a former radical pro-Palestinian staffer to be on his team? I mean, is nothing getting through to these people even at this point?
That's also, sadly, par for the course. But here you have Schiff, yes, a Jewish, new Jewish senator. And the first, one of the first people he hires is an actual supporter of terrorism, Students for Justice in Palestine. Just for to recall, Students for Justice in Palestine is the organization which nationally declared on October 8th that all of their members were part of the movement of the horrors that had happened the previous day. They essentially declared that every one of their members is a Hamas terrorist. So basically, you know, Schiff is hiring a Hamas terrorist to be on his team, which kind of fits when you think how Schiff was unable to say anything honest
about Rabbi,
President Trump when he was in the House.
With all due respect, Rabbi, he's going to insist, I'm hiring a PLO member, not a Hamas member.
Well, like I said, if the whole organization declared their members, I get the joke you're making, but my gosh, no, actually, this organization declared all of their members were part of the Hamas flood, quote unquote,
right,
into Israel to massacre innocents, rape innocents, and take hostages. This is an organization that declared they're all Hamas terrorists. I think we should take them at their word.
I would as well. And, of course, Mike Huckabee, to be the U.S. ambassador to Israel, has said the rebuilding of Gaza is a responsibility of Hamas and Iran, not our job.
Well, except that, of course, Hamas has to be exterminated for a rebuild to happen. There has to be a new government that comes in. It cannot be run by Hamas. The rebuilding cannot happen until Hamas is eradicated, and then it has to be the, you know, new people come in to do whatever sort of rebuilding. Huckabee is also, by the way, he has now gone on record saying two-state solution, that's a really stupid idea because we tried that already.
Right.
That's what Gaza was.
That's what
Gaza
it was.
Gaza was de facto its own Palestinian country.
In fact, it was PLO. It was PLO before it became Hamas.
Correct. And this is what PLO and Hamas leadership leads to. This is what the Palestinians are about. They don't care about building schools. They don't care about building roads. They don't care about building hospitals. They care about building terror tunnels and other weaponry to murder Jews.
So the supposed ceasefire agreement, once again, it's up in the air. I think three have been released, but they won't release names of all those that are going to turn loose. Don't even know how many are dead or alive. The ceasefire talk back and forth, it looked like it was good front banner news for Trump as he was coming in, but once again, we see Hamas backing away. Or do you blame Benjamin Netanyahu? Where does the blame lie?
The blame is, of course, 100% with Hamas. If Hamas had a shred of human decency, there would not be hostages. That is not something decent human beings. Do you know one of the hostages they've been holding for over a year is a 2-year-old child?
Yes.
And then others are women who were subjected to sexual violence for the entire time of their captivity. These are not decent human beings. And that's why the one thing that Trump said, which I completely disagree with, is that he said this is an epic deal. There is no such thing as a good deal with a terrorist organization. There's no such thing as a good deal securing the release of hostages when holding them is a war crime, because it's about extortion. This is whatever the Israelis are doing is because they're submitting to extortion because they value life so much that they're willing to pay some ridiculous and obscene price for the extortion that Hamas is doing it.
Well, in the last 30 or 40 seconds.
The whole concept, it's stomach churning, the whole thing. That's
well,
I
know where you're going with it, but the last 30, 40 seconds, there are those that still say you know, more pressure needs to be put on Israel for this to come to an end.
And again, that's an obscenity. Even Blinken now admitted every time they put pressure on Israel, it made Hamas back away.
Right.
Putting pressure on Israel is exactly how you get more death and destruction. So if you're not a moron and you're not a bigot, you don't put pressure on Israel.
Absolutely. Rabbi Menken, I thank you very much for your time today, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be talking as we go forward in the Trump administration. Rabbi Menken, Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values, being direct and candid as you can be. You don't negotiate with terrorists. It's simple as that.